when God decides to help a man, part 6. And I want you to open with me to the book of Kings, the book of Kings, 2 Kings, chapter number 6, 2 Kings, chapter 6, 2 Kings, chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6, reading from verse 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm reading from verse number 7 or so. Just as if I've missed my verse. Okay, verse number 24, sound it. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 24. There's a familiar story there. I want you to see it again. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 24. And the Bible said, and I read, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 80 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a calf's of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing upon, as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. Verse 27, look at the reply. I love the reply. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? Say hallelujah. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? And the Bible said in verse 28, and the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, give thy son and that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard these words of the woman, that he rent his clothes and passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. Hallelujah. So the story is very clear that the situation was very terrible. The economy of Israel had been so down that the people couldn't even make ends meet. And if scripture is very true, they were now boiling human beings to eat. I want to believe that it is a figure of speech. Because no matter how difficult life will be, I would never boil my son. Then both of us should die of hunger. Because how do you put that son in a pot to boil? Do you cut the throat? How do you boil a human being to eat? And how do you have appetite to eat a human being? Let alone your own flesh. I will not do it. Then me and the son, we should just die. But they ate. And they said, look, we are eating my son today. We are eating your son tomorrow. Which means that The economy and the state was so terrible that if God doesn't help them, no help was coming from anywhere. If God has, and there are people who are who may be in this church, and the situation you are in is so bad that if God doesn't help you, nobody can. You know, people come to that state. It's like my life, just my pimp. My life has come to a standstill. I am in debt here. My husband has left me to another woman. My landlord is demanding the rent. My children have come home because there's no fees. My business is not thriving. The shop owner has taken away the shop. So it's like the only option left for me is to go and hang myself. And I can't hang myself because it's not easy to die. If dying is a button you press, a lot of people will kill and be pressing that button. But it's not easy to die. Die by drowning, by cutting your wrists, by hanging. None of it is easy. So the only option now left is that God must help you. Say amen. And that is why I'm preaching this message. That is why I'm coming with the word of the Lord. That where you have reached, you know, God is about to show up. That is why you are a Christian. That is why you have God as your father. That is why you must join the psalmist when he says that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. May your help cometh from the Lord. And one thing I love about your help from the Lord is because God will not fail. God will not fail. Say amen. Nobody comes to a critical stage where there is no hope and you lift your eyes to the Lord and the Lord disappoints you. No way. The reason why some of us are sitting here, some of us are preaching, I mean, it's because there was a critical moment in our lives that it was only God who came through for us. Yes. Are you clapping or you're not clapping to the Lord? Yeah. When you think about your life, you can see that you would not be sitting here if it hadn't been for God. If it hadn't been for God, that you would not park your car and be sitting here with your wife and your children. It is God who has kept you. It is God who has sustained you. It is God who found you. It was God who came through for you when nothing was working. Am I talking to somebody here? That is why the last thing you should ever do in your life is to backslide. That is why the last thing you should ever do in your life is to move away from the altar. The altar on which you stood and prayed and God helped. You don't deserve that altar. You don't backslide. You are backsliding to become what? To become what? Praise the Lord. God came through for you. God sustained you. If you like, cast your mind back 5-10 years ago. Cast your mind back. What? How you suffered, what you went through, divorce, a painful, how you lost your husband, how you lost your wife. You became critical, sin to a bad, and then suddenly, without you knowing, without you planning, something just happened and turned your situation around. How do you backslide from that God? How do you backslide from that God? That's why when I see people who are backsliding, he doesn't go to church anymore, he's at home, I'm like, are you sure you are normal? Hasn't God come through for you critically? If it hadn't been for the Lord who was on the side of myself and my twin brother, I don't know where we would have been because, oh my God, it was terrible for us. Say amen. My father left my mom with another woman. His brothers and sisters looked on. They didn't say anything. We were driven from the home where we were. We had to go and stay with a friend. I had to quit school to go and take a teaching job, feeding preparatory, was teaching class two. Class two, I will never forget it. Class two teacher. When my colleagues were going to 6th form to the university to work, I was teaching class two. I had my dream to become a doctor, no, has been shattered because I had the father who will take his purse. Show me a purse. When you go and ask him for money, hear the story again. Take a purse. Eh? Do you have a purse? Show me a purse. I know you don't have a purse. That's good. So they say, oh, Papa, school fees is that year. We're there in St. Thomas Aquinas. So we are going to Form 5. So can you give us school fees? He said, school fees? School fees? I'm coming. Then you come. This is my best. This is my money. I won't give you. And truly, he didn't give the money. He would rather go and drink with his money than to pay school fees. He's found a new woman. My mother left and went and stayed with her sisters at Pig Farm. Sally and I went and stayed with a friend who had a poultry farm. So we were now taking care of the guy's poultry farm. We were living under the staircase. We're houseboys, cleaning and wiping. And this, my friend, a very critical. He was suffering from OCD. OCD is those people who want everything clean. They don't want to see any dead. They are called what? There are some people. There's a medical term for it. He wants to see everything clean. We're staying with these people. And you have to clean the fridge, clean everything. And when we hear their horn, pee, 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 then we are watching whether everything is clean. Then when he comes, he will use his the staircase. He was a guy. Very critical. And I was teaching. And when I finished teaching, I'll come to Stanley's place to come and eat. Then I'll sleep in his house or whatever. Just say, situation became critical. I had uncles. Listen, though, I had uncles and aunties living abroad. They didn't help. Not even with $1. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be?
Where would I be?
Where would I be?
If it had.
If it had not been for the Lord, take your time, on my side, tell me where would I be? Where would I be? He kept all my enemies away. He brought the sunshine to my cloudy days. He rocked me in the cradle of his arms when he knew I'd been in battle and scorn. So if it had not been for the Lord on my side, just tell me where would I be? Where would I be? I love the second stanza. He never left me all alone. He gave me peace, joy. I never know.
kneeled down to pray, and in victory he showed me the way. So if it had not been for the Lord on my side, just tell me where would I be?
Yes. Keto, how do I backslide? How do I? Because everything we have been has been the Lord. Say amen. Found the Lord. Became born again. Decided that now that I cannot be a doctor, then I want to be a preacher. So I started to tell myself, we started a small ministry. In the midst of the ministry, then I found my wife. So I went to the father's house. Hear the story again. Because I will never stop telling it. I went to the house to go and meet her parents, father-in-law to be. I can see he was wearing a big singlet and a khaki short with gangrene on top of his nose, reading newspapers. My father-in-law was a very rich man, blessed, geologist from Cambridge, beautiful children, beautiful girls, sausage and bacon and eggs. Sausage, bacon, eggs, myself and pastor, is yoga gari in the morning, wache in the morning, koko omoshishi. When people are eating bacons and eggs and sausage and apple as desserts with chefs and cooks from Akwetia diamond mines, they were raised on carpet grass with white people as their teachers. My teachers. They are swimming pools, swimming. That is what my wife can swim to today. They are swimming lessons. Many times we go on holidays, you see my wife diving into the pool. And I'll be looking. I've never swum before. Swimming lessons. Where? Which pool? We used to play in the Odo River. Odo River. Swimming pool. English language. White teachers. And a Dwadiagwa boy has appeared in the house. They asked me, what do you do? I said, I'm an evangelist. Say, Ivan what? I said, jealous, sir. He said, leave my house. And he was right to sack me because I didn't smell anything good. Ivan, jealous. Where do you come from? I named my home. They said, no, please go away. My wife was being prepared to play golf so that he will meet golfers' sons. Are you listening to me? What bad jacket? What your song? Sometimes people wonder why we are so passionate about the things of God. Because there is nothing behind, there is nothing beside God's work. There's nothing else again. So today, when I stand on the platform to receive 7 awards, including Lifetime Achievement Award, I realize it is God. Today I'm preaching. I have 10 passports. I've traveled the world, ministry. When I look at where I was, it can only be God. Today I'm married to my wife, the one that I was sacked. 4 beautiful children. I'm going to have another child.
Retirement, baby. Only I've tried that. My wife is not getting pregnant, so I've given it up. Because all my children have left me. My house is empty. My house is an empty nest. They are going to school. When I'm sending my wife, then she sometimes goes, sometimes in church. Sometimes I have to look at her face, weigh her mood. Yesterday I say, honey, if I get hot tea, I'll be very happy. Eh. I said, this light is too bright. Can you switch it off? Okay. She will take her time. She will take her time. But if I had a small girl, 7 years, 8 years, or 10 years old that I'm sending, it would be difficult. He threw all my enemies away. He brought the sunshine through my cloudy days. He rocked me in the cradle of his arms when he knew I'd be in battered and scorned. So if it had not been for the Lord on my side, just tell me where would I be? Where would I be? Yesterday I was at Agotokope, demarcating, moving. Straight at, this is where the VIP will start. This is where the stage. I was teaching that this is what the stage should be. This is what it be. And one of my protocols said, he's starting not tired. We hear them trying to gossip about me. Starting not tired. Is it not true? He was tired. Because I was on my feet 5 hours after I have driven for, after preaching, finished and driving. I was on my feet. The reason, and the whole road, oh my God. Bad. But you see, the reason I was passionate is because God has helped me before. And I must also sacrifice and help those who are helpless and build a home for them. And in the night, Keto, in the night, I had a call from a certain man. He said, I hear you are going to do groundbreaking. I said, yes. He said, I am bringing 3 people to Ghana. I'm bringing 3 people. And all the 3 are all millionaires. And when I bring them, Reverend, pray that at least one of them would decide to fund your project. I said, you don't know the prayers. We have prayed before. We are where we are. When God decides to help a man. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. So as you are seated here, when I give you this microphone, you can also tell your story. You also begin to narrate what happened to you when you were in school, when your father died, when your mother died, when you left. I mean, something. And now you are here with your wife or with yourself. You drove here, you parked your car. It is God who has brought you this far. And there is an altar. There is an altar in this house on which men of God or your man of God stood to minister. You don't desert the altar. You don't run away from the altar. You don't desert the altar that ministered to you. Look, our theme for the 21 days. What is it? It's 21 days. It's an altar. Where is the altar? Where is the altar? Hey. They should put it here too. The theme is altar versus altar. The altar of God versus the altar in your hometown. Who is winning and who is speaking? They should put it here. Altar versus altar. That's the team for the that's the team. Altar versus altar. There are two altars. The altar of God and the altar of Baal. Say amen. And the altar of God. Oh my God. When God starts ministering to you through the altar, you will never be the same again. That is why God told Gideon, pull down the altars of your fathers. It means there are altars in your village speaking against the altar of God. Fighting your destiny. There is an altar in your hometown. I was telling Stanley yesterday that some relative, I said, this guy, I said, this guy is under a curse. This guy is under a curse. And I'm telling him that he has been cursed and that he should come so that we deliver him from the curse. His children got angry and insulted me. They got offended. I say, your father is under a curse. I'm a man of God. I can tell when the curse is at work. So all of you, come to this temple. Let me lay my hands on you and break those curses, and God will. They insulted me. Since they insulted me, guess what? Their situations have grown from bad to worse. Now they are calling my phone, calling my wife, calling my wife, calling my wife. They should talk to me, they should talk to me. I pick one of their calls. Reverend, Reverend. I said, your children were insulting me for telling you the truth. After helping you for, how many years have you been helping these people? Over something years. It means that the way things are not working, you are under a curse. I can give you $1 million. If you are under a curse, it will still not work. And I said, you are about to die. The trajectory you are on, you are leading, is leading to your grave. Come for prayers, and you are insulting me. Come for prayers. You are under a curse. He's insulting me. Now the children who insulted me, they came on the phone. I said, you say I'm a fake pastor. I said, me, I'm a fake pastor. I'm a fake man of God. And that my prayers are not working. That's what they told me. They have smoked weed. They were talking to me. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. I say, I'm a fake pastor. Then I said, God will judge between me and you who is fake. And if I be a man of God, you will see who is the true man of God. That's what I told the children. You people versus me. I don't need Stanley. I don't need anybody. Just me alone. Between me and your whole family. God will judge whether I'm a fake pastor. Now, things have gone bad. They're about to die. I send them help. Where is Solomon? Solomon, he sent them the help. I said, send them help. I'll still help them till they die. They must come for prayers. They must be born again. They must turn from their evil ways and come to Christ. It's only Jesus who is the Savior. It is only He that can save you people. Without the Lord, you are under a curse. Without God, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Anybody who has Christ has favor. Anybody who has not Christ is condemned already. You are condemned without Christ already. Play with God. Play with God. Backslide from God. Start chasing other things, and because of some small money you have got. And how much money have you got? You are now, you know, get. You don't come to church. And I can see. You are dying. You are a dead man. You are a dead man to leave God. Say it again. If you know the balance of your account, you see that you are not rich. One guy came to me and said, Reverend, no matter what, I'm leaving the woman. I'm leaving the woman. And he was talking sweating. Sweating. I said, if you leave that woman, you are a dead man. It is the prayers of your wife that has kept you. It is the. Do you know how many times your wife prays? Praying for my husband. You want to, once you leave her, your intercessory line is cut off. You are finished. You are disconnected. It is the prayers of your wife in the night. That is what has kept you. And now that you have become rich, you want to leave her. Leave her and see. I said, leave her and see. Then the guy, you know, didn't come home. Was somewhere. Keto, they called the wife. They said, your husband has been involved in a fatal accident. All the passengers in the car are dead, and your husband is in a critical state. It was only the prayers of the wife. You see, when God is not helping you, when God is not helping you, you are chicken. You are tinapa. You are sardine. And kenke for the enemy when God is not helping you. You are kenke. If God is not helping you, never become proud. Never become arrogant. Never think that you have come this far because it is God who has helped you. It's not a beauty. The door, there are some doors that open to you. You don't know why those doors open for you. There are some things that are happening. You don't know where the help came from. You could have died in that accident. You could have died in that sickness. You could have died. Some of you were in COVID. You, ventilators were on you. COVID killed thousands. How come you survived? One of my church members, he said, Daddy, I saw death with my eyes. He said, death was standing by my bedside. He said, they have taken others away. You are the one left. He was the only one who survived in the world. There were 19 people. All 19 people died except him. The wife came to me. I gave the wife communion. You remember it? I gave the wife communion. I said, go give to your husband. Communion will save him. The blood of Jesus. And all died in the world. And the angel of death said, they've carried the others away. You are the next. Get to them. I'm coming for you. Then he ate the communion. He couldn't even eat it too. They had put a machine, a gas mask. So they removed the gas mask. I said, I told the wife, they won't allow me to go there. So tell them that they should remove the gas mask. He must eat the communion. And he must eat the communion. He must eat all the seven communion at once. Because we don't have 7 days. So he ate all the communion and drank all the wine. The following day, he was discharged. He was a wonder to the doctors. They called him the miracle COVID. Because the oxygen was as low as 15. You are supposed to have like 85. I hear 85. This was 50. Just said below belt. Just said you have. They one of them. This said when the wife was going. The woman said, "Oh, koyo, obebanu, prepare yourself for anything." That's what they told the wife. Prepare yourself for anything. This is the one we call. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. When God decided to help this my son. When he comes to my house, the first thing he does is to kneel down. I said, oh, get up. He said, no, daddy, let me be on the ground. If you hadn't sent me that communion, They have been putting flowers on my grave. The communion saved him. Tell somebody, don't joke with God. Don't joke with God. That is why there are certain things you don't do. As about there are certain things you don't do. Number one, you don't backslide from God. Number two, you don't stop working for God. Number three, you don't drag, you don't develop cold feet when it has to do with God's work. You don't postpone God's work. You don't backslide from God's work. Unless you don't know what God has done for you. Unless you don't know. Semishania waya manun to minka manun to minka Missena mata minya miasi wana dumbe brebe manun to minka manun eyi waya inti erate midi mini pedria. Come on now. Come on now. Eish.
Niawaye yidiye ebru madrinsu.
Eish.
Etirade senaminka sauti senkuni pintinge riyedede.
Come on now.
Neye wuma yewe yawe ni yedi wuna sinyu. Near deep breath,
come on now.
Ow, erati, yet
out. Sing again, sing again. Sing that part.
Yeah. Namayo tia for Namayo bonia. Ah, near why, dear. Ebro madrin so. Inti erati. Senayeka, Seltisen Kunim Pinting Eriye de De Neye Wama Yeria Weni Yet the wood now see you near the Brewo
Ao Eradi Yet I was see Ukrayemu so called Renema or the Yenfum Sachayen
Wanye bribiara tumye mumo bro yo Iradi yeda wasi Ukraye mu so kori ene nema Yonye fum sache ye Adada Wanye bribiara tumye mumo bro yo Iradi yeda wasi.
Helen, there were so many people in your constituency who didn't want you to win this election. People were jujuing themselves. People were cooking themselves. People were sacrificing live cows, live cats, live lizards. People wanted to unseat you. People went and consulted Malams. I just held Helen's shoulder and I said, go! The Lord be with you. The God whom you serve will give you victory. When you have God, you don't fret. When you have God, you don't shake. When you have God, you don't become disappointed. When you have God, you relax and sing songs of praise. Helen didn't consult the Cindy live cow, buried cowries. No. It's God. When God decides to help a man, look. Some of you should tell your coconut head husband whose head is bleeper that, my dear, Eyenyamio, remind him that word, Eyenyami. Your manicured and pedicured wife who doesn't want to come to church and speak in tongues. Can't you say, Eyenyami? said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Am I talking to somebody here? Am I preaching to somebody here? I feel like preaching. I feel like preaching. The Bible said, Ketu, the Bible said in verse 7, verse 1, then Elisha said, here, 2 Kings 7, verse 1, 2 Kings 7, verse 1, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a fine measure of flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. It is only God that can change an economy that has gone below zero into surplus in 24 hours. It's only God. No economist in any part of, no IMF program can change the economy of a nation in 24 hours except God. Nana, you are a banker. You study economy, you are an economist, you do so many things. Is it possible to change the economy of a nation in 24 hours from zero to surplus? That is why this nation should recognize God. It's not IMF, it's not all these things. We thank God for IMF, but it will take God to change our economy. And they must recognize God. They must what? Recognize God. They should throw their hands in the air and say, God, our economy is sinking. Help us. Once they say that, they will see God in action. Say amen. And truly, truly, the following day, some lepers who were shuffling said, why sit here till we die? If we stay in this city, we'll die of hunger. If we enter the Syrian camp to whatever. And so they started moving into the camp of the enemy. Look at verse number 6, 2 Kings. I love verse 6. Verse says, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses. Lepers who were shuffling, God magnify and amplify their foot for the enemy to hear the horses, chariots invading the camp. It is only God that can make somebody hear something. Somebody who must help you will have a dream. Your destiny helper will call you unawares. Get ready for a phone call in 24 hours. I prophesy to my church members both that in the next 48 hours, in the next 1 week, in the next 24 hours, you will hear a phone call. You get a text message. You will hear something. Good news is on your way. Give the Lord a mighty shout. I feel like preaching. I want to stand on this scripture and prophesy to someone that tomorrow about this time, Monday by this time, you will get an email. You will hear a message. Somebody will come to you. Tomorrow about this time, your destiny helper will be calling you. Tomorrow about this time, you who were jobless, two companies will be calling you. You've sent applications to many places, but in the next 48 hours, a job is coming your way. Am I in my church or I've gone somewhere? Tomorrow about this time. Oh my God. Tomorrow about this time, your ex-husband who left you with some shanky girl will be calling you. If I be a man of God, somebody will be hearing something tomorrow by this time. Unexpected sources will bring you help. Your enemies will call you. People who are owing you and they have vowed never to pay, they will call you tomorrow. Somebody is going to have debt cancellation. Are you clapping or you're not clapping? Some people sat around a table and they said, we will never give this job to this guy. But in less than 24 hours, the same people will change their minds. This is where you need God. This is where God is coming in. Say, I hear you, Pastor. You came to church today for a reason. You are hearing me preach because in the next 1 week, in the next 1 month, something is about to break loose in your life. This is a miracle. Working God, come on now. It's a miracle. Working God is the Alpha and Omega. It's a miracle. Working God is the Alpha.
Is the Alpha
and Omega.
Is a miracle working God. Preach, brother.
When Jesus says yes, no man can say. When Jesus says yes,
nobody can say no. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no.
The following day, the Bible said, the Syrians fled. They left their loot. The Samaritans went there. And by the gift of Samaria, the prophetic word that Elisha gave came to pass. Am I also a prophet in this house? Then you will also see that my word will come to pass. Because I am also speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That this week here, you will hear good news. Somebody will call you. A door will be open. The application you said, they will call you back. The visa they cancel, they will call you back to come and take the visa. This week, tell somebody, look at me. This week, by next Sunday, if you sit by me, I will tell you my miracle. Only those who are clapping and only those who are believing and only those who are shouting will see the hand of God. Because a man who was leaning by the king said, even if God were to open the windows of heaven, this thing will not be. So people who keep quiet, that is what you are saying. I said, it means that you are also saying that even if God were to come down, it will happen. But the person who has looked at his situation, and the situation is bad, is saying that, my prophet, I believe in what the word of the Lord is saying. Give the Lord a mighty shout. I believe. Say amen. The reason, Kato, the reason why I'm saying this is because I had a meeting with my Ability Village team, and I told them, set the date for the groundbreaking. If my people are here, and that time the chiefs are saying that you can only enter this land when you bring 1 million Ghana cedis. Then me and my team sat down. We said, so where are we going to get 1 million? Even the bank could not give us 1 million. Because we don't have collateral, we don't have anything. We don't have no water. We can't raise money. We can't do anything. There was no smell of 1 million anywhere. Are you hearing my testimony? But my people kept meeting. They were meeting in my house. They were meeting on Tuesday. One of my team members said, why are we meeting? We're planning. And the Ningbo people said, don't enter this land until you have come to add 1 million to the money you brought first. That is what the chiefs are saying. I went abroad. I went and do some meetings, came back. Holy Thursday. Is it Holy Thursday? Came back. Friday, I was preaching in the certain church. I preached here in the morning and went there in the evening. A certain woman said, listen to this testimony. Said she was in a house. And a nibi catcher, they said, sorry. Not quite sorry. Sorry. Because she has also come in the morning. She said, well, I finished for Good Friday. Then a nibi catcher said, sorry. They go, sorry. And then she came to church. She was sitting. When I was greeting people, I greeted her. I went and sat down. The man of God introduced me. Oh, I took the microphone. And I'm in Mumbai. Oh, my God. And I'm preaching. Me preaching. When we closed, the woman said, who preaching? I'm in Hopo. And I need to catch them and say, this was what the woman was telling me though. So she came, said, what do you need to do that groundbreaking? I said, oh, we need 1 million. I'll give you the one million. I said, yes, mommy. I said, yes, ma. Thank you very much. He said, 2 Fridays from today, the money will be ready. I came back. I went to Cape Coast to go and preach to my churches in Cape Coast. First day, they were driving me to go and preach when a phone call came on my phone. Reverend, where are you? I said, I'm in Cape Coast. When are you coming back? I said, I'm coming back tomorrow. Which was the Friday, because I had 2 days. But when I heard her voice, because she told me that, 2 Fridays, and the second Friday was that Friday. So, I'm coming back the next day. So, when you arrive, appear at this office. I say, yes, ma'am. So, I finished preaching, took my shower, and everything. In the morning, 5:36, I told my driver, we are going back to Accra. Then my driver said, why? I said, a miracle is waiting for me. I took my, I drove. When I hit Kaswa, I entered through Kaswa. Then I called the woman. I'm in Accra. It's okay. Appear at this office. Then I call my people. I call 1, 2. I said, join me. Join me. They will appear at that office. We appeared at that office. I said, the man of God whose church I preached to was carrying 2 sacks. 2 sacks. I said, Reverend, 2 sacks of money. I said, Reverend, this is 1 million. This woman says, I should give it to you. I carried the money straight to the bank. I carried it because I haven't seen 1 million like that. I wanted to hold cash, fresh notes. Call. I carried it. I took it to the bank. It took 2 hours for the bank to count. They counted every note. Where's that? I said, hey, Nankrofu, you are there. Then they finished. Then I called my guy. I said, tell Nene. That's the chief of the. I said, tell Nene his 1 million is ready the following day. So we appeared at the Nene's house and gave him the 1 million check. We have set the date, but God helped us. I transfer that miracle to somebody listening to me here who is in a critical stage, who needs help. I say, in the next 1 week, in the next 24 hours, may God come through for you. Give the Lord a mighty hand, somebody. This is the most powerful miracle. The same woman said, Reverend Steve, I am coming to the groundbreaking. And when I come, I will pledge 100 million Ghana cedis for your project. Are you jealous or rejoicing with me? The way you are quiet, you know, it's like you are envying my miracle. Are you envying my miracle? Are you envying my miracle? Or you are rejoicing with me? Say amen. Take your calculator. Calculate 100 million Ghana cedis into dollars. Calculate it. Many abre. And let me preach it. How much is that? Calculate it. 100. Is it Reverend Steve? I will come. How much is that? Almost $10 million. He said, that to be my pledge to your project. Yeah. The person is not coming from abroad. Here, yeah. Then she said, I know rich men in this country. I'm going to call them to support your project. You know what I'm saying? That the project is historical. There is nowhere you will see a city, an integrated, when you say something is integrated, that means that able and disabled living together, and the city belongs to the disabled people. You see, an integrated city. You should come and buy a land there and build a mansion there. There's everything, industrial park. There is hospital, 100-bed specialized hospital with the biggest swimming pool in Africa, because disabled people do well in a swimming pool. He can move his limbs better in the pool. Industrial park, technology hub, housing, 9,000 houses. The Bible said, I am the Lord. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. So me, I've opened my mouth to the fullest. 2,000 acres. You know what the chief's people told me yesterday? They said, Reverend, we are told that you want 2,000. I said, I want 2,000. We have it, but do you have money? I said, yes, I have money. They said, we have. You are doing 500 now. We have 1,500 left. Do you have money? I say, yes, I have money. He said, do you want all the 2,000? I say, yes, I want all the 2,000. He said, how long will you take to pay? I said, I'll pay you. Because the Kenyan miracle God has showed me, no? Just said, anything can happen. I said, anything can happen. I prophesy to somebody that anything can happen to you.
Second Kings chapter 5, I'm closing. Second Kings chapter 5, the Bible said, Second Kings chapter 5, the Bible said, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. A little maid who waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, will God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, he will have recovered him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. So a house help now was telling the king, now was telling the master, he said, master, you are suffering from leprosy. But if you were to be in Israel, I have a prophet there. My man of God would have recovered this man of his leprosy. They know the danger of leprosy. That if you don't get cured, you will be removed from your palace, from your office, from everywhere, and you will be sent into the leper colony, and all your mouth will be eaten away, your fingers will be eaten away, your toes will be eaten away, and you will stay in the leper colony till you die. There's no recovery. So he went. When he went, the king said, I don't have a leper colony yet. The king of Israel said, I don't have it. Then Elisha said, bring the man here. Bring him here that he may know there is a prophet in Israel. They brought Naaman. Naaman was at the entrance. Okay. Then the prophet said, you go and tell Naaman, the Syrian, that he should go to Jordan, the river, and dip himself 7 times and he'll be healed. 7 is the number of perfection. Naaman got angry. Why? He didn't even come to greet me. He didn't even come to honor me. He didn't even come to honor me. So he got angry, was going. Then the servant said, why are you going? Why are you going? They said, go and do simple bath. Just bath. That's all. That one too, your pride from your pride for the Damascus. The prophet, anytime a prophet, a man of God, gives you a direction, follow it. Because these directions are inspirational. So they convinced him. He removed his clothes. He saw the river. He said, but there are better rivers in Damascus. Look at the Israelites. Look at the rivers. Then he did himself 1, then 2, then 3, then 4, then 5, then 6, then 7. And his skin became clean and very beautiful like a baby's skin. Say amen. God helped him. You are next in line to be helped by God. Today, after service, myself, my twin brother, and resident pastor, we will lay our hands on you. And that sickness, that disease, that infirmity, that problem will vanish instantly. Do you believe it? It can happen to you this morning. Say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. The Bible said in the book of Mark, chapter 4, the book of Mark, chapter 4. Look at what the Bible said. The Bible said in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. The Bible said in the verse 35. Oh my God, I love this scripture. Verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the inner part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they wake him up and say unto him, master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and say unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Say amen. Somebody's life is being ravaged, raged, of storms, of problems, trials, temptations, and things. Today, when we lay our hands on you, we shall declare, peace be still, and there shall be a great calm in your life. There shall be a great calm in your home. Some people's home are on fire because husband and wife are fighting. There shall be peace from today. Some people financially, you are in the storm, but God is going to bring calmness in your storm. In Jesus' name. Finally, Acts 26. And we pray. Acts 26. Acts 26. No, Acts 28. Acts 28. Acts 28, verse 1. The Bible said, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarians' people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the presence rain and because of the cold. And when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat, fasting on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not him to live. The Bible says, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but rather they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said he was a god. Say amen. You can be beaten by anything. You can be beaten by anything. People can poison you. People can poison you. People can blow powder on your chair in the office. People will do something and they are thinking that you, this year, you will not enjoy that post. But brother, they will change their mind. Because it was God who helped Paul. Such a way that when the venomous viper bit the hand of Paul, by virtue of the poisonous snake, he would have lied down, he would have fallen down, he would have shaken and foamed and died. But God helped him. But God helped him. Maybe unknowingly, your girlfriend has poisoned you so that you will go and divorce your wife and come and marry. Your girlfriend has poisoned you. They are doing all kinds of things. They are washing their pants in the soup. In Kati Baby, no one could do in Kati Baby. And they say, Ure Befi, Uyiri. Now, Babe, Wareno. And they are poisoning you. You are sitting on a post. You are a small girl. They have elevated you. You are now become a mistress over people who are supposed to be your father. And they are trying to undermine you. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. The God whom you serve will deliver you from that poisonous substance. And you will not perish. You will not die. Even if you have made a mistake, the blood of Christ is available for you. If you made a bad choice, the blood of Christ is available for you. And they will be looking. And they will be looking, thinking you are going to die. But they will change their mind. And they will call you a God. God bless you. I love you all.